In the mighty name of Jesus, you know, one of our hearts here is that you would be restored to God. And then through that, you would become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the way that you do that is living in community. It's good to show up on a Sunday and worship together, but it is also good that you would spend time learning the Word of God, learning how to pray, learning the rhythms of fasting and giving, and being encouraged. And so today, we have two more small groups. Would you welcome up the women's ministry small group leader and Mr. Melvin and Ms. Grace? Would you give a big old Hope Community round of applause? They're going to share for a minute about their ministry and how you can be a part of it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Worship was so good this morning, wasn't it? God is truly here with us. And so I do want to share with you a little bit about our women's group. It is very near and dear to my heart. I love all our women. And so let me just tell you a little bit about the women's group. I had to write it down. I don't know why. I've been doing it for years, but I still felt like I had to write this down. So it's just a great place for women to connect, and we do life together. I mean, that's the bottom line. We do life together. So it's about real friendships, and a great way to reset for this year is to connect with other women, right? And so we meet Mondays at noon, and we have a great lunch. So if you are available Mondays, it's a great way to come. You eat with us, and then we have our Bible study. And then we also meet Wednesdays at 6:30. Our studies range from books and characters of the Bible to relevant topical studies. For example, right now we're currently studying a book. It's by Jill Briscoe. It's called 8 Choices That Will Change a Woman's Life. And it really is good. So like our first week was on just counting it all joy when we're going through those trials of various kinds, right? We're always going through trials, and what we have to learn to do is count it all joy. And then this past study was on living for eternity, not storing up treasures that we have here on earth, but storing up those treasures in heaven that, again, are eternal. So we hang out, we study the Bible in a way that it just makes sense for us. It's ways that we can apply God's truth. We pray for each other. And we do other impactful events throughout the year. Like if you've been with us, you know we have our annual Inspire Night. That's a great night of just where we come together as women. We have a guest speaker, and we are just inspired to, again, apply God's word and just be his witness to others. We have our women's nights out throughout the year. And this year, we're starting a new thing. It's going to be a beach retreat. I'm looking forward to that because I love the beach. And so it's going to be a beach retreat in the fall. And so again, it's just a welcoming space for our women. And it's for all ages and all backgrounds, just to find real friendships, to grow in faith, and walk through life together. So it's a great way to build community, as Ms. Tara said earlier. That's why we're here, is to build community that lasts beyond one day, one night, or one day of the week. So if you're new, if you're coming back, or if you've been here forever and you just haven't jumped in yet, we do invite you to join us. We would love to have you. Amen?
Good morning, Hope Community Church family. We're so glad to be here with you all today. God commands us as brothers and sisters to be hospitable. He also commands us to be a good steward of the things that he's given us. So being hospitable, we want to be able to invite people to come over by and fellowship with us. And as you can see by the gray hairs, we represent the older crowd in the group. And that's the small group that we represent. All right. Old but not forgotten. And that's the group that we represent. Those 50 and over are all invited. older people only. We do not have child care, so leave your old children at home. But we do our Bible study on the second Wednesday of the month, and we come together. We like to eat, and we fellowship, and we pray, and we learn God's word together. We don't claim to be theologians. We learn together. We discuss God's word and let his Holy Spirit lead and guide us each and every time. So we enjoy that. We enjoy the community of people who have lived a life and can share what they've gone through. We want it to be a safe place. So what you discuss in our fellowships stays there. We want you to feel comfortable in knowing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are called. So we want you to feel comfortable. If any of you who have not joined the group yet and you are in that category of 50 and over, feel free to come by and see us. We're at 207 Senex Street here in Houma. Not far away from the church. We're only about 5 minutes away from this building across the intercoastal. So we invite you to come and join with us. Trying to think of anything else. Our studies, we do a Bible study coinciding with the Smiths. We do ours just on a different day. And like I said, for the older crowd. And we love to fellowship. We love to be with you and pray with you and celebrate with you. All these things together, because that's what we're called as brothers and sisters in Christ to do. So we welcome you and we invite you, and we just praise God for you.
And it's Fridays, right? Friday? Okay. It is Fridays, yes. It's Fridays at 6:30. It will be this Friday at 6:30. Yes. Okay. And I cannot believe he said 50 and up is old. I can't believe that this morning. I don't know. I don't know about all that. I thought it was 55 for sure. And not that I'm 40. Okay. And so turn to the Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're looking at verse 13. Yeah, I believe in small groups. There's so much growth happening in our women's groups. So I encourage you, if you're not in one, be a disciple of Christ. Followers come and go, but disciples are one that follow and say, I'm committed. And you'll hear from men's ministry next week and several other. But right after service, just go to the small group, sign up. You can scan a QR code for that. It is an incredible time. Of course, if you're a visitor this morning, in the back of your chair is a visitor card. Bring that to the front desk. And Valentine's night, our couples night out, is on the 20th. And we need to have you register. Even if you can't pay right now, we are trying to plan for that event. And we only have like 5 couples registered, but we're trying to get to 25 couples. So if you're coming, at least register. There's a physical sign up at the welcome desk, and also on the Church Center app. You can join it right now. Sign, I'm coming. I just, you know, give me a chance to pay for it. It's $25 for a couple, an incredible night right here in-house. Are you ready? Let's hear the word of God this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for small group community. God, I thank you in the book of Acts chapter 2 where it says that they met together daily. God, all the time they were meeting and breaking bread together and giving generously and hearing the word of God. God, I know that's where growth happens, is in community with other people, where iron sharpens iron and we learn precept upon precept. So, Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, God, that we would find ourselves becoming disciples of Christ. That's a lifelong journey, God. So we pray that over this church and this morning, God, as we learn of hope. God, our hope could have been misplaced or misdirected. It could have been in a situation or a circumstance or even a church or a church leader. Lord, that's a misdirected hope. God, I pray this morning that we will find our hope in what is true, and that is you. God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except for you. So, Lord, help us and lean. Help us to lean in and Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Hope. This is called Hope Community Church. Years ago, we started something called Hope Extreme, which is the nonprofit side of what we do. We work with students and kids for years and years and years. Actually, this church was birthed out of that nonprofit. And this is hope. Somebody say hope. Now, you may be asking yourself this morning, what is a biblical definition of hope? Last week, we learned about faith. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, and you're looking forward to something that you can't really see. And we learned from the centurion last week, if you were in service, that the centurion had faith in Jesus so much so that there was an action. Somebody say action. Say action. So faith requires an action. Let me give you a couple of verses before we get into hope. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So again, this is the believer. We're supposed to walk in faith because we cannot see and we don't have the evidence yet, but it does require an action. We walk by faith. So walking is an action. In James 2 and verse 17, it says this, so also faith by itself, if it does not have what? Works. Works is an action. So again, faith is planted in Jesus and knowing who he is, but it requires an action in this particular verse. It requires works. Romans 10 and verse 17, it says this, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So the action in this verse is what? Hearing. So we know to as faith has works, faith has sight. So faith is also comes by hearing, and faith comes by walking. So that is the action of faith. That is the biblical definition, that faith takes a step, but hope sets the definition. So the destination. Hope is a biblical confident expectation and assurance. Somebody say assurance. So when we're looking at these scriptures this morning, when we're looking for hope, it is a biblical confident expectation and assurance based on God's character and his promises. Those are two things we're going to talk about this morning as we dive into the word. It's not uncertainty. It's not wishful thinking. Sometimes we'll have faith in our worship, we'll have faith in our fasting, or if we just do enough right things, or if we say enough right things, or if we pray enough, or if we give enough. Those are things that we do, but our faith is built on action, but our hope is built on God's character and his promises. Somebody say character. And then now say promises. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 13. It says this. We're going to start in verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. The writer of Hebrews is unknown. Sort of some scholars think it was Luke. Others have different opinions. But it is biblical. And you can see the working of faith in this book. But you can also see the working of hope. And in verse 13, the author says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself. Now, you probably have made a promise, right? When you're younger, you probably stuck a needle in your eye, hope to die. All the people 50 and up say amen. And so all the young people probably do something else on ChatGPT. And so we have a way that we make promises, correct? Like we swear or we say something or I promise this is true. And God promised to Abraham, and because he had one greater to make the promise through, he promised it by himself. By his name, by his character, by his oath. Now, this is a confident assurance that we have. In verse 14, it says, surely, this is God speaking to Abraham, I will bless you and multiply you. So again, God is speaking a promise to Abraham, and he is promising it by himself, by his name in verse 15. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited. That's sort of the threads of hope. As you see the verses, it's not always in action. It's not always walking by sight. It's not always hearing. Sometimes it's just what Abraham is doing. He is patiently waiting. These are difficult things, right? This is not what we like to do in our culture. We like to go to a drive-thru, and if they're not done in 1 minute, what happens? We get a little bit hangry. And so when we get hangry, we start saying things that maybe we shouldn't say, because we live in a culture that says, do it your way right away. And hope says, no, I am patiently waiting to obtain the promise. I'm sitting there. I'm believing. I'm hoping for. Look at verse 16. It says, for people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all the disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So if you sign a name at the bottom of an oath, and God's signing his name at this promise that he's given Abraham, that he will bless him, number one, and he will multiply him, number two. And so in verse 17, it says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, that's you, that's me, that's those that he was writing to in that age, that's all the saints that were coming. So God desired to show us more convincingly about the hope that we had. And here's how he did it: through his unchangeable, somebody say unchangeable, unchangeable character. Number one today, hope is found in the unchangeable character of God. Now, I have changed. It's for the better, most of it. I'm not who I used to be when I was 15 years old and I first gave my life to Christ. Hallelujah. I have changed. There are things about me that change constantly. I am a woman, so all the men would probably say, yeah, amen. And so there are things that change in the direction, in the course of our lives. But God's character does not shift with time. It does not shift with culture. It does not shift because of a circumstance that's happening in your life or in the life of our nation or in the life of this world. God's character is unchangeable. Somebody say unchangeable. Now, this is important because if I look at something that changes all the time, I don't have a hope that is secure. I have a hope that is changing. But if I put my hope into someone who never changes, my hope becomes secure. God is unchanging in his nature. It says this in Malachi 3 and verse 6. It says, for I, the Lord, do not what? Change. So he's saying this about himself through the prophet in the Old Testament. God is saying, I have a nature that does not change. In fact, it says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchanging in his faithfulness to you. In fact, Timothy, as Paul was writing the letter to Timothy, here's what Paul says. If we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful. So we can change. We go in and out. We're close and we're lukewarm, and then we're hot and we're cold. But God does not change in his character. He does not change in his faithfulness. Even when we don't have faith, God cannot deny who he is. God says, I never change. I don't change my nature. I don't change my faithfulness. And God is incapable of lying. We all have said lies. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says that. So though man may have lied to you, or maybe you were waiting on a promise from somebody to show up in your life, or maybe you had someone that said something and it didn't come true, that is not the character and the nature of God. You might have had a church or a church person that said something and it didn't quite happen the way that it was. And they might have told a white lie or they might have told a big old ferocious lie. That is not the character of the God that we serve. The God that we serve, his nature is unchangeable. His character is the same. He is found in the unchangeable. Hope is found because God doesn't change his promises and his character. Look at the next part of that verse in verse 17. It says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his parent purpose, he guaranteed it with a what? With an oath. Now, we know he had no one greater to promise that oath, so he promised it by the name that is above all names, the name that doesn't change, the character that doesn't change. Number two this morning, hope is found in the promises of God. Has somebody ever made you a promise and they broke it? I have a daughter. She has allowed me to share this story. She plays basketball, and she loves basketball. It's incredible. Like, she just enjoys the game of basketball. And she plays for a school that is terrible at worst. And at best, their school doesn't win a whole lot of games. There's not a whole lot of sports inclined people, let's us say, at this school. But the coach of my daughter's team has a unique way of coaching. Here's how he coaches. He plays five people. And he plays those five people the entire game. If you have ever watched basketball, you know that basketball, they sub people out, right? They get, not our coach. Our coach will sit with those same five starters. We could be losing by 20. It doesn't matter. One time, I think we pretty much got blown out by 40, over 40 points. It did not matter. There were no substitutions happening. But every day after practice, our coach tells my daughter, next game, I'm going to put you in. And my little girl sits there on the bench. And as she sits there, she said, Mom, don't call me a bench. I'm not calling you a bench. She sits on the bench. And she has the greatest posture. And she is like, all the other girls have checked out. They're done. They know this has been the 20th game. The coach only plays five girls. I'm never getting into the game. But my little girl will sit there. And if somebody makes a three-point on our team, which is very rare, she cheers. And she's like excited. And she's invested into the game. And she has like this hope in the promise that her coach made to her. And y'all, no lie, our last game is tomorrow night at E.D. White. And so, Mom, you got to go to this game. I know it's at E.D. White, and you don't get out of work till 5, and my game's at 5:30. But this time, the coach said, I'm going to get into the game. And Ted and I are like, whew, yeah, sure. She has this unquenchable hope in the promise that her coach made her. But her coach is human. And he doesn't always, if ever, I mean, maybe once or twice we got in there for a minute, hallelujah. But for the most part, she sits there and just waits in confident hope and expectation. But my coach said, Mom, my coach said that this was going to happen. I'm going to be put in the game. Y'all, a coach is human and his words are not true. But the promises of God. See, we can put our hope in the unchangeable nature of God, but we can also find our hope in the promises of God. If God said it, now if the Bayou Blue coach said it, it might not happen for you. I wouldn't put a whole lot of trust in that. But if God said it, his nature doesn't change and his promises don't change, right? And so look at some of the scriptures. It says God's promises are rooted in his will. So the counsel of the Lord, it says in Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands what? Forever. When I was younger, I had this favorite verse, Isaiah 48, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is forever. It doesn't change with culture. God's promise hasn't changed. Salvation is still found through Jesus Christ. It doesn't have a up and a down or an ebb and a flow. God's promises are confirmed by his word. If you want to know what God's saying, read the word. Get up in the morning and get into the Bible plan and say, God, what are your unchanging promises? Look, Hebrews 10, 23, it says, he who promised is what? Is faithful. So God is faithful what? To his nature, but God is also faithful to his promise. So it says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God find their what? Their yes in him. So I'm expected, not in an infallible coach that says maybe I'll get into the game, but I am expectant that the promises of God that I find in the scripture are yes, and they find their yes where? They find their yes in him. Not in me, not in the local church, not in the global church. They find their yes in Jesus the Christ. Keep on reading, y'all. In verse 18, get back to 17, we'll come into 18. It says, so when God desired to show more convincingly the heirs of the promise, he did it because of the unchangeable character of his purpose, and he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his nature and his promises, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the what? So we're holding fast to the hope because of God's nature, and we're holding fast to hope because of God's promises. So we are encouraged this morning. You can wait patiently on the Lord. You can renew your strength in Christ. Why? Because of God's nature and because of God's promises. They are the hope that we hold on to. Look at verse 19. We have this. What do we have? God's nature, and we have God's promises. What do we have them as? A sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of our souls. It's what keeps us. It's when you go through a storm and the storm gets a little wavy and things are happening, but if your hope is set, it's the steadfastness of a soul. Now, I don't know a lot about anchors. I don't care for fishing and all, I'm sorry. But I know this, I think we have a picture of an anchor. We have two anchors, in fact, that we have side by side. A real anchor, in case you don't know this, is a heavy object dropped to the seabed to hold a boat in place. Now, you can imagine in Jesus' time, and he's preaching, and this letter goes out to the churches, all around that area is full of rocks, right? Like, the whole area is full of things. And so whenever they talk about hope being the anchor of the soul, what they're actually saying is that anchor, that heavy metal object, would drop into the water, and the water would be secured by the rock. What does an anchor do? Well, an anchor stops drifting. So the boat doesn't go anywhere because the anchor is set into the rock, and it holds during a storm because the anchor is set into a rock. And depending on the weight and the grip, it works only really, really good when it touches something solid, which in this case is a rock. Now in South Louisiana, we don't have rocks. And so when you go, I remember going out in the boat with my papa or my mom and dad or my brother-in-law, and we would go out into the boat, and back in the day, we would have an anchor that was a metal, and you would pull that right over to, you remember this? And you would just bring it over the boat, and it would sort of go into the slush of the swamp. You know what I'm talking about? And that anchor could hold. Hopefully it held. But sometimes that boat would drift just a little bit this way. And if the waves would come in, what would happen? Sometimes in South Louisiana, that boat would drift offshore. You know what I'm talking about? You came in from fishing off of the island, and all of a sudden, where's our boat? And it's like this way or that way, and the waves have taken it every way. Because that anchor was not put on the rock. It was put on the sludge of South Louisiana, and who knows what's in there. there. And so we see that the, so I was like, you know, that anchor illustration, you know, for me in South Louisiana was not as powerful as it was in Bible times. Well, we were talking around the table the other night at supper, and I didn't even know this, but my son, he installs GPS systems into boats. I thought it was like to find your way. I think it is to find your way. They said maybe it's also to find good fish. But do you know that a GPS can also be an anchor? It's a virtual anchoring position. A GPS anchor, often called this dynamic positioning, uses satellites. It uses sensors and monitors to keep a vessel at a precise location. So what does it do? It continuously adjusts positions. So you set that GPS and you say, this is where I want it to be at. That is where that boat is going to stay. It doesn't matter about South Louisiana sludge. It doesn't matter about winds or waves. It doesn't matter about a storm, because the positioning is coming from a higher place. And so what happens is that GPS starts to fluctuate. It doesn't. There's no wavement. There's no movement. It doesn't matter about winds or waves or current, because the power of that GPS system and the correction that is happening at all times, it knows where you're going, the GPS system does, and it knows where you simply are supposed to be. Hope is like the GPS anchor of my soul. Hope is an anchor. So picture this. You're in the middle of a storm of your life. A life storm. The waves are loud and the wind is restless and relentless. And the sky is dark and the anchor isn't floating on the surface where everyone can see. It is dropped deep. And in biblical times, it would catch a hold of a rock. But maybe there today, yours is just a GPS that's fluctuating on the satellites, and it drops deep. It goes far below the waves. It grips something solid. The storm doesn't stop, but the ship doesn't drift. Get it? The storm doesn't stop, but the ship doesn't drift. Why? Look at the end of the scripture. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 17. It says this. So when God desired to show more convincingly the heirs of the promise, it says he showed him the unchangeable character of his purpose, and he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, which is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And listen to what it says, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That's a weird place to put an anchor. But let me tell you something. If you want your hope to be steadfast and be the anchor of your soul, this is the catch. It can't be in a person. Your hope can't be in a place. Your hope can't be in a people or an outcome. Y'all, I fasted for 21 days, and some of us saw incredible things, and some of us did not. It can't be on the outcome of our fasting. It can't be built on my emotions. It has to be tied to someone that went beyond the curtain. Someone that said, I am going into the Holy of Holies for the last time. Someone that's going to pay the price for my sin. Someone that's going to declare, you are righteous because of the blood that was shed. And the person who went behind the curtain is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it says in verse 20, when Jesus had gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever. So that means that he doesn't change. The hope of my soul is built in Jesus Christ. And because he went behind the curtain, the Bible says whenever a priest would go into the curtain once a year, they would make a restitution almost for sins, right? And they would go in and they would shed a lamb or shed animals, and they would go in and hopefully the priest would make it out. In fact, they would tie little bells around his feet. And so the bells quit moving. They would, the priest wasn't holy enough. He's dead. Let's drag him out by the end. But not Jesus, not the Christ. He went behind the curtain. He went behind the cross. He stayed buried for 3 days, and the Bible says he was resurrected, and he showed himself over 500 people, and then he came back to the Father, and it says he sits at the right hand of God the Father today, and he is waiting to come back for us, and he is making prayers and intercessions for us, the saints. Y'all, that is a hope that is steadfast. That is a hope that is secure. That is a hope that is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. You may feel the wind. You may still see waves. But I'm not affected, because beneath it, hope is holding. The storm does not decide where I end up. My anchor does. Can I say that again to you this morning? The storm doesn't decide where I end up. My anchor does. And his nature is unchangeable, and his promises are sure. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes this morning? Perhaps you've been drifting. We can play something, but maybe you've been drifting. Maybe you've been affected by storms, waves, circumstances, outcomes. Maybe you've been affected by emotions. You haven't seen what you wanted to see yet. Because all we have to do is rest secure. All we have to do is really just throw that anchor over the boat. And when it hits the rock of Jesus Christ, Whenever the storms come and the waves come, because they will. Remember, Jesus says that when the storms come, not if, but when the storms come. As believers, we don't get to just check out and be like, well, everything's going to be perfectly fine. I love Jesus and I'm following Jesus. No, that's not how it is. So when the things of life come, you have to determine that storm will not decide where I end up. And the only way that you can determine that is if your anchor is Jesus, the solid rock who does not change, and his promises are always yes, and he's faithful to do what he said he was going to do. If you've been drifting this morning and been all over the place, in and out, or maybe you've been insecure, or maybe you've been just ruled by outcome, could you just lift your hand in your seat right where you are, every head bowed, eye closed, and just say, hey, that's me. There's no shame. I think so many times we go by the waves or the storm. And Jesus is just reminding us this, I haven't changed. God hasn't changed. You may have been hurt by some God people, but God hasn't changed. His nature is always the same. His promises are always true. And you can hold on to him who went behind the curtain. And now he's a high priest forever. There's no more priest. There's no more once a year. There's just Jesus. With your hand lifted, can you pray out loud with me? We'll just be honest before the Lord. Just say, dear Lord, my hand is lifted this morning because I've lost some hope. I have been affected, Lord, by waves and storms and outcomes. But this morning, by the reading of your word, I realize that your nature is unchangeable and your promises are true. And I declare with my mouth that you are the anchor of my soul. So storms can come, God, but help me not to be moved. Waves may come, but help my anchor to be secure. And that I will trust you and wait patiently as Abraham, because I thank you that I'm yours. God, help me to be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Can I just pray for you, Lord, this? Can I thank you in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. God, you knew us. God, you know that sometimes we're moved in the things around us. But this morning, I'm so thankful, Christ, that you went behind the curtain, that you paid the penalty for our sin. God, you paid the penalty for death. God, we're looking on the other side, and God, we say, Lord, you are the hope of our soul. God, you are the anchor. You are steadfast. God, you are faithful even when we are not. You can't deny yourself, Lord. So we thank you, God, that we serve a God who is not like us. And that's why you're trusted. God, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we walk out the doors this morning, Lord God, help us to trust you, to be immovable. God, that our anchor would hold because it is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the praise. In your mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. We love you guys. Go out and live in faith. Live in hope, and then next week, live in love. And so we're going to see you guys. And of course, join us for all the wonderful things. Don't forget to stop by that small group table and do it. Just go ahead and sign up. Join us on Church Center. Join one of those groups. It will change your life.